AchieveRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Lore Distraction and Interruption Show here on AchieveRadio.com. This is Joe Caraccio. Put my tongue back in my mouth here. My next guest is Debbie, and I want to pronounce their last name correctly, but I'm not sure. So how do you pronounce your last name, Deb?
Einmo.
I got it. Einmo. That's an interesting name. We'll have to start off with that. But first, tell our audience who you are and what you do.
Well, I am actually a small business coach. I help small businesses enter the world of government contracting because my background is a 25-year background of being a government contracting executive.
Okay, interesting. So I want to get back to your name. What is the derivation of that name? It's a very interesting name.
Well, actually, it's Norwegian.
Okay.
I married it, then I divorced it a few years later. Because I had a son, I kept the name, and it's a very interesting name. But bear in mind that my maiden name was Papa Nicolau, so Einmo was actually an improvement.
I love it. I love it. Very, very interesting. So now you got me intrigued, and you probably have our audience intrigued. It's an interesting name. What's the derivation? Why is it an interesting name?
Einmo? Well, I think Einmo is a very interesting name. It has something to do with enigma, you know, there's mystery behind it. I just think it's an interesting name, lots of vowels, so it confuses people.
Ah.
But it's a name that people don't forget. So I had a staff member once that came up with a way to help people always remember my name. She said I was a cross between Einstein and Mo from the Three Stooges. Some days I'm closer to Ein, some days closer to Mo.
Excellent, excellent, Einmo. And obviously people will not forget that. That is excellent. Okay, let's get back to, I know that was a little distraction, and that's what my show is all about. So let's get back to what you do. You've been in business 25 years. What led you to start doing coaching or consulting?
Well, actually, I was an accountant, trained as such, and spent the first 5 years of my accounting career in manufacturing. And then I joined a large manufacturer in Florida that also had a government contracting division. And one day they had a crisis. Someone who I think was the controller of the electronics manufacturing division became suddenly ill, and they needed someone to sub in for 3 or 4 months. So I volunteered and fell in love with government contracting and never looked back.
Wow, excellent, excellent. Do you do work all over the country, or does you work? Go ahead, please.
Yes, I travel extensively. I mean, up until about 2 years ago, I was traveling throughout the Middle East and Asia, Africa, South America, working with not only people completely headquartered in the U.S., but people that had projects around the world. But then 2 years ago, I promised my family that I would stay in the States. So now I only travel to Alaska, Hawaii, and the 48 lower states.
Wow, but you're a busy camper. There's no doubt about it. Have you written a book about this, or do you intend to?
Well, yes, I wrote a book. Well, actually, I've got two books. I have a book out now. I wrote a book about 2 years ago called Don't Bid, and it's a guidebook for small businesses to enter the world of government contracting without bidding on contracts.
Hmm.
The book is being re-released next month, and it's called Selling to Uncle Sam, a Small Business Guide.
Excellent. I relate because part of my background is actually I retired from doing telecommunications and data communications work, and I was a consultant for many years myself, traveling around the country, not out of the country, but around the country. And there was 6 years a part of my world. I worked for the city of New York. I worked for the government, and I was a director of telecommunications. So I do relate to bidding. And I was the friend to vendors because of the fact that prior to that, I was a consultant and I wasn't someone who came in politically or came in from a civil service standpoint. I came in because of my expertise. And all the vendors loved me because I would explain to them,
I would imagine,
you know, how and why to bid, not just because I wasn't a bureaucrat. So tell us a little bit about this. Give us some pointers of the book.
Well, I'd be happy to. Well, first off, there's many insider secrets, and it sounds like you were sharing some of those secrets from your prior life, too.
Yes, yes.
But I tell people the best way to get into government contracting is not to get into government contracting. Is that instead of bidding on contracts, you take a backdoor route. There was an article that came out about 4 days ago that talked about how only 150 companies were responsible for about $800 billion a year in government contracts.
Yes.
Well, the part that people don't know in general is that of those 100 companies, yes, they're the prime contractor, but they're required by law to subcontract to small companies. Mm-hmm. 80 to 90% of the contract value is typically subcontracted out. So while there may be only 100 companies that are the prime contractor, there are hundreds of thousands of smaller companies who are the subcontractors.
Right.
So I tell people the number one secret to getting into government contracting is that you don't bid on contracts. Instead, you seek out these 100 government contractors, and you subcontract with them instead. So you don't bid on contracts.
That is a great, really a great philosophy. That makes a lot of sense. And I recall that we went out for major bids in dealing with large telecommunications and data systems, and you know, for the city of New York. And it was totally different than what I had done prior because I was in the private sector. But in dealing with that, you're so right, because the big companies are the ones who won those bids. And I sometimes wish a smaller company would win it. But then they subcontracted. There is no doubt about it. And we always had clauses in our agreements that allow them to do that because, you know, that makes sense.
Sure. And, you know, it only takes three key abilities to be able to subcontract. You need to be adaptable, meaning you can change your processes to fit whatever the customer needs. You need to be credible in that you need to have a good reputation, you need to be solvent, and you need to be able to follow through on what you say that you're going to do. And the third thing is you need to be sellable, which means you need to have the ability to sell what you do to a large company.
Yes.
And these are the things that I cover in my book.
Excellent, excellent. This is it is definitely of value to many people, especially our world out there of small businesses who are trying to get a break and trying to do something that they really don't know how to proceed with. So I do appreciate what you're saying.
Well, one of the reasons I wrote the book, Joe, was that it was I had just come back from 3 years in Iraq, and the recession was hitting. Small companies were going out of business, literally by the hundreds of thousands. And I knew there were $800 billion a year in government contracting, and I kept wondering, why aren't these people going after this? Because the government buys everything from toothpaste to torpedoes. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, underwear to armor. And if you have a product or service, they're buying it in some way or another. You simply have to find the people that have already won the contracts.
Yes.
So I wrote the book to help people. It's 150 pages. It's about a two-hour easy read. In there are links and lists and everything you need to be able to subcontract. Sample phone scripts, everything that it would take you as long as you meet those three key abilities.
Wow, that's phenomenal. And well, you know, your website, I didn't mention it. What is your website?
Well, it's Don't Bid. It's www.don'tbid.com. And you can also find it by searching on my name, which is Debbie, D-E-B-I, Einmo, E-I-N-M-O. And you can find the book on Amazon. You can search by Don't Bid. You can search by my name, and you'll be able to find it that way, too.
That is excellent. We want to mention that again at the end of this discussion because we have a few minutes. This is something, obviously, it's very focused. It's, you're dealing with a specific group of people, but there are so many small businesses, and there's so many people now working out of their homes. And this would be really great if they can get some revenue through the government and get things done. What about the future? How do you see it? You know, the government keep saying, all the politicians keep saying, they want to cut, they want to cut, they want to cut. Do you see that really? I mean, and the reason I bring this up is we hear so many stories about, overpriced bids and people paying, $1,000 for a monkey wrench or something to that effect. Do you see this hurting our small businesses? And again, I know it's your opinion.
Well, yeah, and of course it is only my opinion, but I have been in that realm for about 25 years. First off, every time I hear someone talk about a $1,000 monkey wrench, it's really not true.
Right.
If you wanted something, if you wanted a laser printer to last 20 years, it would cost you a lot more than the ones that you go down to your local Staples or Office Depot and buy. So if the government specifies in their contract that they want this laser printer to last 25 years without ever suffering any downtime, it's going to cost a lot more. That part's true.
Right.
So private industry is simply meeting the requirements that the government specifies. I think as far as spending, government spending, a lot of people are unaware that the government does very little for itself. On military bases, the military plans war. They plan rescue operations. That's what the military does. They don't build their own houses. They don't pave their own roads on the military bases. They don't cook their own meals or do their own laundry. These are all things subcontracted out to different private contractors. So I think the need will continue. I have a client in Washington that just landed a big contract for supplying all the real estate needed as far as leasing offices, putting in furniture for Homeland Security. So whatever governmental department it is, there's some company there rendering all the services, and then that department performs its unique niche task where everything else is performed for them. So that's right. Why there's so much in government contracting.
Excellent. Really excellent. This is great advice. Again, I hope people who are in small business listening to this and get the book. Get the book because the book will guide you. It sounds like a very excellent guidebook. I have not seen it yet, but it doesn't affect me today, but I know it affects a lot of people, and I do appreciate that. Anything else you'd like to tell our audience? We have about a minute left. The floor is yours.
Well, the only thing I guess I'd like to say is that if you have a small business, no matter what product or what service that you render, if it's something that is not geographically based, meaning if it's not something you can only do right here in your neighborhood, then it might be a product or service that can be subcontracted out to a large company. So think about it. Get the book. See if you have the three key abilities, and then it will walk you forward from there.